in a society, especially here in Orange County, America in general, and a lot of the world is starting to, or has been the same. Just, we live in the age of microwaves and drive-thrus and delivery and, gosh, Amazon Prime, which I thank God for these conveniences in life. You know, there's just a lot of struggles that we don't have to deal with on a daily basis that I definitely think we take for granted. But more importantly, we need to not be the grocery store Christian. We cannot be the fast food Christian. We cannot be the microwave Christian. We need to grow in our knowledge of God. We need to be instructing others in our knowledge of God, not just in the shallow, undefining terms of love and faith and just believe. We need to know how to define these things and how to educate others on them. Just as Paul warns his church in Hebrews, Hebrews 5:11, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing or sluggish. That's what that dull means. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. Now, does that sound like today's church? Does that sound like today's the congregants of any given church? It kind of goes in circles. I blame the churches, but I also blame the individuals, because as we get lazy and shallow, the church wants to reach out to us. So what do? They go lazy and shallow. And so what we've got this disgusting circle of lazy, shallow Christians that just perpetuates more generations of lazy, shallow Christians. And this is what Paul's warning the Hebrews about. The Hebrew church was, they were actually getting persecuted like hard. And they didn't really have any depth of their beliefs. So they were just ready to throw in the towel and be like, okay, we don't need to do this anymore, because, you know, they don't even really know what they believe anyways. So they know God. They love God. But it's just not worth it because they don't know him enough. They're not growing in their knowledge. They're not teaching anybody else. Continue chapter 6, Hebrews. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from the dead, works of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. See, right there, he just lays out everything that they already know, everything that they should already know, the basics. Okay, you're already a Christian. We don't need to do that again. What's done is done. And this will do if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tested the heavenly gifts and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the word and the powers of the age to come. Don't compare yourself to your, you know, other people that you go to church with as your definition of being a Christian or being knowledgeable of God. You should be looking to God for your comparison. And of course, we're never going to meet that or match that. But we need to be striving for that kind of holiness, that kind of righteousness, through the power of the Holy Spirit alone. But we need to be training ourselves. Verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. We cannot be children forever. We can't grab on and lock on to some truths that we learn when we become a Christian. And because our church isn't doing a good job at helping us go deeper, then we're really passionate about a lot of shallow things. We are experts in the kiddie pool. We have literally jumped in to the foot and a half deep water, and we are swimming. We are just fat and happy. And we know that pool inside and out, because it's only 10 foot by 10 foot square, foot and a half deep. And boy, are we experts in there. But we are completely unaware that there is an ocean right next door. We don't even know that the deep end exists. There's so much more about God's character, about the knowability of God, about the incomprehensibility of God, and about what love means in God's eyes, what faith means, what belief in God even means. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That verse needs to be written on our eyelids. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. This isn't just a gift that some have and some don't. We can stop it. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment. Oh, well, I don't have that power, so I guess I'll move on. No, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. We need to have our noses in the Bible. We need to have our minds in prayer. both on our faces in private prayer, but also just constant prayer in our heads as we go on our day, to stay humble, to stay pure, to stay holy. And don't let this be discouraging. There is a time, I don't know how long in each of you have been a Christian, because there is an elementary version of Christ. And that's noted here. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Let's make sure we're striving for that maturity. Can we give a clear and precise and well-rounded version of the gospel to somebody? How are we supposed to teach God if we ourselves can't really even explain it? Not just your testimony, but even your testimony needs to be so Christ-saturated, so gospel-founded, that they can't help but hear Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, in your testimony. Practice it. Write it down. This isn't legalism. This is us taking the responsibility to share Christ faithfully and accurately. I would love for some of you to write down your testimony or practiced version of it, because we don't want to stumble. We don't want, when that opportunity arises, it says, hey, I see that you're a Christian, or why are you so happy, or what makes you different than everyone else that I notice around here? You just have a light about you. That's going to catch any one of us off guard. And we need to be ready to give a faithful, not afraid of saying Christ in our testimony, because he is all. People need him. The people that hate him need him. Everybody needs Christ. So to shy away from sharing his love and what he's done for us is a sad thing. Sometimes I feel like I'm beating a drum with these voice memos. But, you know, until I see change, it's just going to keep on keeping on. And I mean that in myself, too. We can't just be heads full of knowledge and hearts hard as stone. This needs to be changing us from the inside out. So as we grow in knowledge, we grow in love, because we actually know what that love is. And as we grow in love, we also grow in hate, because you can't love well unless you hate well. You can't say you love children and not hate child abuse. So that works with the realms of all things. And as you grow in love, loving well and hating well, then you grow in your grace, and you grow in your faith, and you grow in your beliefs, and you grow in, I mean, everything works with knowing more about God. Forget the 8 steps to being or dating well. Forget the 8 steps of being a better Christian. We need to behold the glory of God. Be in awe of God. We need to harness that awe and not be cynical with the elementary answers of Jesus. Christ alone. I love God. God is awesome. The cross. There's these simple things that we need to behold and define and grow in knowledge and grace. Let's grow. Let's continue to grow. Let's continue to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Bye.